You're listening to Around Comics, episode 192. Comic Culture Podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics was recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. And this episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Yes.
Where waiting for the trade has never been easier.
It's so easy. Don't buy any books. Wait for the trade. Ruin the industry.
InStockTrades.com offers huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more.
But on then it feeds you hard.
All at great discounted prices. Right now, InStockTrades.com is offering our new Book of the Month selection, Black Hole by Charles Burns, for a fantastic 35% off the cover price. You can pick up the soft cover for $11.67 or the hardcover for a mere $16.22. That's
and
the one I
suggest. And it's really going to show what sort of comic fan you are if you have the hardcover or the soft cover.
I have the hardcover.
Yeah,
the hardcover.
I mean, your upper
and the
class.
Individual issues.
Yeah, your upper class. Yeah, exactly.
First printing.
First print.
I think they only did one printing of each.
Five of each first print.
Why does that not surprise me?
So Jeffrey's eating like caviar and eating his first printings. Chris is having like a steak, and I'm eating like Dinty Moore beef stew and reading my soft cover.
Like your ratty old soft cover. Then
yeah, so falling apart. I can't understand what's going on.
Well, you can pick those up now and join us in about a month or so as we talk about roughly a month from now as we talk about Black Hole. And remember, in stock trade. InStockTrades.com. All orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. Hey there, everybody. I'm Christopher Niesman, and we have a nice full round table today.
Ooh, handsome.
Yeah, I'm full.
Yeah. It is a very handsome cast today.
Facial hair versus smooth shaven, 3-2.
Yeah, but
yes,
who wins?
Smooth. I don't know. I'm pretty gritty right now.
Gosh, you guys, you look like a bunch of hobos. Look at you.
Just because I have like a stick with like a handkerchief tied up at the end of it.
And like that 19.
Let me get my books out of my handkerchief
your
stick.
Flip-flops.
The 1980 Milwaukee Brewers hat doesn't help.
Funny story. I went to a Brewers game on Sunday. I had my throwback jersey, which is like a light blue jersey. I had the hat that goes with that jersey, and I bought a beer, and the vendor goes, "You look like you stepped out of a time machine."
Nice.
So I was like, "I'll have one high life." And I was very visibly drunk, had the beard and like the hair like sticking out. He's like, "What year is it?" Yeah. It was good. I felt pretty proud.
Well,
and I got massively dehydrated.
Hey, folks, sorry to jump in here, but we had some technical difficulties whenever we were recording on Friday that mysteriously just came and went, but we lost most of the introductions and a fair chunk of Top of the Stack. Our guests for this episode were some fairly familiar voices, so hopefully you will be able to distinguish them pretty quickly. The panel was myself, Tom Caters, Stevie D from the Comic Book Queers, Dave Wachter, and Jeffrey Brown, and we missed Tom. Top of the Stack, and it was Storming Paradise by Chuck Dixon and Wildstorm Comics. So I'm sure on the forum this week he'd love to tell you more about it, or you can just go and pick it up and let us know what you think. So kind of unconventional here, but we're going to jump right back into Top of the Stack with Stevie D's pick. So sorry about the technical difficulties, and we'll try and make sure that doesn't happen again. Let
Mr. D, what do you got for us?
Well, I was going to talk about a book, but I decided to change my mind at the last minute.
Why?
Because I hate you.
Oh, Jesus.
No, well, we're not big fans of yours either.
Because I hate you specifically.
Can you put your hand back on your own chair, please?
No.
no.
What I wanted to talk about was...
I just had to say that for my street cred. It's cool.
Whatevs, Dave. Whatevs. You didn't say that last night.
Yeah, you got that right.
You could do like the sports thing and say like, oh yeah, man, he's got a great body, no homo.
No. Nothing gay, I just want to go home and cuddle a little bit. You know, no gay shit or anything. Yeah. Let's just hold each other for a little bit.
Yeah.
Fuckers. So what I wanted to talk about was the movie Wanted. Has everyone seen it?
Not yet, but...
I've seen it.
Chris
okay.
never goes and sees movies.
Hey, no, I saw Hancock last week.
Either.
So
oh,
shut it.
Wanted, you bastard.
Will Smith movies do not count.
You know, I chose unwisely. I should have gone to see Wanted, and everyone has now informed me that I picked the wrong movie to go see.
So Wanted was fantastic. I actually have never read the book. So I completely fell in love with the movie. I think visually, shot by shot, it's stunning and beautiful. Angelina Jolie doesn't really have all that. She's a major character in it, but a lot of the stuff that she does is kind of subtextual. And she pulls it off great, and I'm not a big fan of hers at all, of her lips or her boobs. And but James McAvoy is perfect.
The booty.
I'll admit, she's got a nice ass. But James McAvoy is perfect in this role. I mean, he really...
How's his American accent? Does he pull it?
Now, actually, at one point, I thought he sounded a little Canadian. I think he was like...
What are you talking about?
I'm a boot to get my colt.
What are you talking about?
Well, he's not Eminem.
I need to get my colt.
Wasn't that supposed to be Eminem's
You know,
movie?
I heard...
Until Eminem got horribly overweight.
Did you guys read the book?
I haven't
read it.
Didn't Mark Miller, J.G. Jones art?
Yeah, well, J.G. Jones, I want to pick up that book really bad now because of that.
I saw the movie Tuesday, mm-hmm. and then I had read the book, and I like both a lot. The movie is very different from the book,
right.
But like my personal philosophy in like movie adaptations at this point is just like it's something separate.
Exactly,
it's like
you know, like universe.
You
already have the book.
Yeah.
That already exists.
Do you feel like the comic book movies, if they just stay true to kind of the core idea, if not every panel and frame and concept, just the core idea, if they stay true to that?
You know, it depends. I mean, in a way, the movie doesn't stay true to the core idea. Like, they kind of get rid of... I mean, like, if Mark Miller wrote the book because his brother told him when they were kids that... when like Superman went off the air or something, and then his brother told Mark Miller, like he was asking, well, where'd all the superheroes go? And his brother's explanation was that the supervillains all got together and killed all the superheroes.
Nice.
And that
sounds like
Mark,
a brother.
And that's Mark Miller's brother was an asshole.
Yeah. An awesome asshole.
Yeah.
So that was the premise of the book. And there's all this superhero stuff going on, supervillain stuff.
Awesome.
But
yeah, I actually saw it with someone who read the book.
Yeah, and so it's all taken out of the movie. But like you know, for one, I think. Like to get into that in the movie, like it's a lot to
it's a big
to
concept.
Put in. Yeah, it's a lot to put in, and like that's one of the things about comics is like you can do a lot and very like the book is just one thin trade, but it mm-hmm. really packs a lot of story into that.
It's a lot of characters.
Yeah,
a lot of backstory.
I saw it with Charles, our webmaster for CBQ.
Webmaster.
Yes, he is.
Does he make you call him the webmaster?
Yes, Danny.
Do you want popcorn, webmaster?
But he was telling me the same thing. Like this in the movie, you actually sympathize a little bit more with the character. But in the book, it's really hard to because he's pretty much a dick.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, they definitely, like, give some scruples and morals to the characters mm-hmm. that, like, in the book, they're just, like, do whatever. It's kind of like, did anyone see Jumper?
Yes. I actually have that on my Netflix.
I hated the guy in Jumper. Like, you just hate him. And, like, they even, like, it's like...
But is that really because of Star Wars and not Jumper?
No. Like, it's, like, really the character in Jumper. Mm-hmm. It's, like, he has just no redeeming qualities.
Quality at all.
And, in Wanted, it's just, like, he's a really likable kind of character, and he has kind of, like, a sense of justice that is... absent
exactly.
completely in the book.
Was there a creature made out of shit?
No.
In the movie?
No, no.
In the, not even in the background?
There's,
not even wandering, like, through a frame.
There's,
in the,
there's kind of an
that
overweight
was Dogma,
guy.
Tom.
Same, yeah, same thing. Same,
now, sort of I've heard of the movie. It's just action, action, action.
Yeah, it's yeah, it,
and it act, one more than
and,
that,
and even
one more action.
Yeah, the action is great, and it's a, it's pretty. There's some funny parts. There's actually there's one part that I laughed. Me and my brother laughed out loud at, but I'm not sure if it was like meant to be funny like that.
It's like you start laughing at
when he's training and he kind of celebrates. Do you know what scene I'm talking
oh,
about?
Oh yeah.
Like that part is really
that
funny.
That was hilarious. I thought that was.
It was just like. But partly because it's like so out of place amidst all this violence, it's just kind of like the,
yeah.
I don't know.
But that's also yeah, that's also part of what makes the character likable.
Yeah,
is that you see him and you're like, okay, he's a schmo. That's what he is.
Yeah,
he's just
like this. That scene is just I don't know. It's somehow it works. Like it like when I think about that scene, it shouldn't work in the film, but it really like I really
I thought
liked
it worked.
It.
I mean, when like, you think about when he smacked the guy with the keyboard. That was a spoiler.
Spoilers. Oh, man.
He smacked a guy with a keyboard. That was the big key moment.
That never happened
movie.
In
Sorry.
The book. I
Sorry.
Give the movie
that,
an
that was a bad
F.
pun.
That was, yeah.
That was the key
that was
moment.
Key I
moment.
Give the movie
Thanks for
an
catching.
I don't remember a keyboard scene in the book. And I go see comic book movies so I can see a direct adaptation of something I just read.
Panel for panel.
I want to see something I've read.
Without having to read the words.
Yeah. I want someone to read it to me.
I want some sort of moving picture book. With sound.
I want it to be 7 hours long, and I want it to be an exact scene by scene.
Frame by frame.
Frame by frame. Otherwise, why do it?
Typos included.
Why hire directors or actors?
Yeah.
Or writers.
I just want someone to cut up the comic book
and shake it around.
Tape it up on a screen for me.
And then read the line.
And then have voice actors. And have some guys reading it to me.
Anybody have an opaque projector?
You know, what's scary is after the week that I've had on the internet, I'm convinced that there are people out there that are agreeing with you right
Listen,
now
I'm
and
sorry,
don't even know.
No one wants to buy Chris Niesman's salsa, all right? Just because you launched that website and you've been talking about
the research and
salsa.
The research and development that went into that salsa, you know, peanut butter salsa. It should
Chris Niesman's PB&S, peanut butter and salsa.
It tastes like shit together.
It's like fucking Don Imus with this salsa.
Hey, you guys didn't believe me about the sandwiches, did you? The peanut butter lettuce mayonnaise
sandwich? I do not believe they're good.
I believe you can make a sandwich out of that. You can make a sandwich out of anything. You can put anything between bread.
I'm bringing them in one day, and
I'm not gonna eat one.
Yeah, you're talking That's to a win. Guy who didn't have any food in college, so he went up I had a can of tuna.
He ate drinks.
And I went up to the machine and got a pound cake. So I split the pound cake along the center to make it like bread. And I put tuna on it. I don't even think I had mayonnaise to make tuna salad. It was just tuna on
a pound cake.
Cake
and tuna.
It was really...
How high were you?
Oh, man, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry, oh, God. Because the funny thing is you could open up that tin of tuna and really, you could just eat the tuna.
You have to drain the water. I mean, you have to
You
do
don't
that,
have to put it between.
No, you need the pound, because you need, like, the bread or something. So the closest I had was pound cake. Because they had it out of the vending machine.
That's really not that close, Dave.
It is, sort of.
It was the closest thing in the vending machine.
Closest thing in the vending machine. What am I supposed to use? Doritos?
Pretzels? Do they have pretzels? Like, even
no, you can't put tuna
something.
On pretzels.
Dave, what's
your
crazy?
Top,
what's your top of the stack now that we know what sort of taste you have?
Thank you, Tom.
I don't say I enjoyed it. Well, actually, it wasn't bad.
All right, so Dave's recommendation. This is from a man who once ate a pound cake and tuna sandwich. So, buy this book if that sounds appealing. You're going to talk about tarot, aren't you?
I don't even know.
How'd you guess?
What that? Okay, so Portal there's this book. New book called Tuna and Pound Cake.
Mr.
No,
Tuna.
I my top of the are we on to me now? Are we
yeah,
on to
yeah, yeah.
Go for it.
We're done talking about
okay. My top of the stack is Femme Noir from Ape Entertainment. Thank you.
Yay.
Would you like to know?
Yeah, please.
Would you like to know a little bit about
like to tell us something
okay,
about
it's called Femme Noir: The Dark City Diaries, and basically. And this first story arc is called Blonde Justice. Basically, we have your film noir kind of detective story, rogue detective, except this time it's a woman.
What?
Ooh. But it's really, do they even let that happen? What? Next thing, well, I guess we've got women motorists, so.
I've heard they can vote now, Dave.
All right, let's not go crazy, you left-wing nut job.
Another what-if story.
No, it's great. It's I'll just give over the credits here. Written and lettered by Christopher Mills.
What if women could vote?
That's great.
Chaos.
Can you imagine what the world would look like? Terrorists running around? All right. So it's written and illustrated by Christopher Mills, penciled by Joe
Staten.
Yeah, that's an A, isn't it? Okay. Inked by Horatio Ottolini, colored by Melissa Kersher. Kersher.
Kersher?
K-A-E-R-C-H-E-R.
Anyway, tell us about the book.
It's great. I mean, if you love... Whoa, Chris. Everybody, Chris just collapsed. He's out cold.
God.
And this is why they tell you in school, don't lean back in your chair. Especially when you're an alcoholic podcaster.
Keep going. I'm going to go get a chair.
Okay. So for those of us who are still at the table...
Interested.
Yeah, it's a great noir story, classic. It's basically from the point of view of a reporter who's trying to figure out who this mysterious person is. So you get essentially three short stories in it because he's got it narrowed down to three women that it could be. And, like, one is the daughter of a gangster, one is a sultry songstress, the other is an ace reporter. And he's got it narrowed down to these three women that it might be, and he gives a short story that involves them and this mysterious woman of justice who comes in and straightens it out. And the art is beautiful. I mean, it's a remarkable-looking book. It's got a real Eisner spirit quality to it, both in the storytelling of it and just the look of the art and that kind of dark noir, while being a little bit fun still. You know, it's not that dark. It's not dark and gritty modern noir. It actually is kind of a throwback to that film noir feel.
That lighthearted noir
of the 30s. I don't know if it's lighthearted, but it's just not. It's just not trying to be modern gritty.
Right.
It's more like the old, you know, black and white movies or something like that. But it's, I thought it was a whole lot of fun. It's issue 1 of 4.
It looks beautiful.
It is outstanding.
It puts out good stuff.
They do. I think they've got a great lineup going. I mean, I was trying to say one of the other things that I had that might have been my top of the stack was their new the one about the aliens, 1950s. White picket fences. The new White Picket Fences one, too. I was trying to decide which one, but...
Fellow Chicagoan, Matt Anderson, yeah. And Eric... Oh, gosh, I can't remember.
Somebody.
Can't remember his last name.
Yeah, that was a good one, too, but mm-hmm. This one's a new...
Micah Farrater's art on that is awesome. Yeah. I love Micah's art.
But this femnoir is a new thing. You can jump right in, and it's just... You know, it's beautiful, and it's a fun story.
Beautiful, man.
So, it's sort of a self-contained story, although it's also a setup to what's going to be this first story arc of 4 issues. So,
sweet.
Very, very great book.
All right. I think you can probably check that out at apeentertainment.com.
Apeentertainment. I think it came out last week.
Awesome.
So, this week.
Go talk to your local comic shop owner.
Yeah, pre-order that shit.
Yeah.
I need pre-orders.
Nice.
Bitches.
Wait a second. Uh-oh.
What?
Huh?
That book you got picked out,
Oh, you're going to call me a fucking hypocrite, aren't you?
The $3.99 comic book you got there.
Oh! I knew there was a reason I didn't buy it.
Yeah, but it's not...
Too expensive!
It's not a Marvel or DC.
Does it even have a cardstock cover?
Is it 22 pages long?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, isn't Top Cow squeezing you pretty tight, then?
Are there ads?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just want to say that Femme Noir was $3.95, mm-hmm. but it's more pages. Yeah. It's like 30 pages.
Are there ads in that, Chris?
Yeah.
Is there a cardstock cover?
No.
So you got nothing. You got nothing more than...
For, yep.
Somebody got
for
called
people
out.
Who don't
called out.
For people who don't know what Tom is referencing, last week on 11 o'clock comics, I went through a pretty gin flavored rant about Marvel price gouging people on Secret Invasion at $3.99 yeah. because it's an event yeah. book and it's only 22 pages and so yeah.
I immediately started your review by calling you out because I didn't want to forget about it.
Thanks, yeah. appreciate it.
So tell us why we should buy this.
Okay, my top of the stack is pilot season. It's Top Cow's pilot season. The last couple of years, they put out 6 books that you get a vote on at topcow.com, I believe, yeah. and 2 of the 6 will
they have
actually
MySpace thing for too, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It's I'll look. I'm sure it's on the last page.
Yeah,
it's
complicated.
Know, but it's kind of nice, you know. They put out these books. They let people vote on them, which ones they like, and they will pick 2 of them and make ongoings. I think Jason Aaron's Rip Claw last year was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It was really good. Well, this year, one of the books is Urban Myths, and it's by Jay Ferber, who you should know from Noble Causes and Dynamo 5 and Gemini. And
I think yep. you may have mentioned him before.
We've talked about
him. We like the Jay Ferber. He is a very good writer, but why I really do enjoy the story, and we'll talk about that. The art in this is absolutely fantastic, and it is done by Jorge Molina.
Yeah.
And I would describe it as if you took Umberto Ramos and Carlos Meglia, if you're familiar with either one of those artists. It is.
I see a little Carl Kershaw in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very clean, almost animated style, but there's very exaggerated poses and expressions. It is.
And centaurs.
It is an absolutely gorgeous book. I think the coloring on it, there are scenes in there that are colored beautifully. There are some that I think are a little over rendered, a little the color palette gets pretty dark, and it's pretty it can get a little muddy, but they're overall I think the coloring was good. There are just some spots where it got a little dark, not like Ultimates 3 dark, but but
you
dark.
Can't see where the characters are.
Yeah, but so it just take a look at the book, because the art is absolutely fantastic. The story, very fun. It is it's a world where obviously magic and magical creatures exist, but it's still, you know, very much like a New York City feel. And the main character, his name is Jack Medusa, and that's not his real name, but that's kind of his nickname, and that's because his mother.
Is that your stage name? Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
Stevie Medusa. Yeah.
Stevie Medusa.
His mother was cursed with like a Medusa curse, and anyone that looked at her would turn into stone. Well, she passed that along to her son, and so he wears like this iron mask, and his hair is snakes and that kind of stuff. But he's a private investigator, and the setup of the book is that he's looking for this runaway girl, and I won't get into the story because you really should read it. It's a lot of fun, but he has to basically follow this girl into hell and rescue her because she's trying to bring her father back, who just passed away. And it's these great little character moments. His dad is blind, which is, you know, kind of convenient because he doesn't have to worry about turning his dad to stone, apparently, and that explains a lot of the relationship that his dad had with his mother. A fun twist on the gumshoe detective mixed with some magic and mysticism and a little noir feel to it. Some really nice heartfelt moments in it. It's yes, it's 22 pages. It's $3.99. I'm a fucking hypocrite. But it really did feel like I got a very nice story. Whether we ever see this again, you don't know. So
I think that's a little bit of that's a little bit of the thing with the pilot season. Once it's kind of thrown me off a little bit from them, mm-hmm. is very much the fact that. If you want to see more of them, you have to like vote for them. So very much, you might not get.
I don't even vote in the general election.
It's been sort of weird. I love the idea of the pilot season. I think it's maybe it should have been. I think it's an awesome idea. I think mm-hmm. it's a great idea for a publisher like Top Cow to do something like that. I wish it would have been tighter. I wish they would have come out closer to each other, so there could be a little bit more.
Isn't that kind of what they do in Japan with the phone book manga? Is that they put them out in these big collections, and the people that read them kind of vote on them, and those are the ones that they keep printing.
I've heard things like that, yeah, too.
I would love to see Top Gun. I know it's probably extremely cost prohibitive, but to do like a pilot season trade, even a black and white trade, yeah. I think it's
better served tighter if you could get more of them at the same time.
Yeah, I had never even heard or put out some PR about it, so that guys like me could have it ever heard of.
It seems very much like it'd be hard because the Jason Aaron book, mm-hmm. which was really
good. It was really good.
And I'll probably pick this up too. But to be honest, the where the voting thing falls apart is a little bit of the I'm not going to read all of them, and they've all been spaced out so much that it sort of feels like there's no urgency to, I want to vote for this one.
Right, because you read them all at once, and you go, okay, now I'm going to go vote. But if it's once every once in a while, then you forget that you're sure.
You was I supposed to vote? Well, it'll be nice to see this happen again.
But it's a cool
idea that I hope...
they work out the kinks.
Yeah, they work out the
kinks. I don't even know who won last year.
Has someone won the one from last year?
I remember Ripclaw. I don't know if it will. Obviously not, because Jason is exclusive at Marvel now.
Yeah.
So I doubt if he's doing a Top Cow book, even though he's still doing Scout. But if you want to check out more, you can go to myspace.com/pilotseason for details, and you can vote.
It's a cool book.
Yeah. But check out Urban Myst and keep your eye out for Jorge Molina. Did you guys like the art?
The art looked really nice. The Umberto Ramos comparison is very apt. It's not exactly.
It's kind of like
you can see
the,
it's of that school.
Revelation.
Right. Yeah, it's very the his character designs. If you read, was that what that's called?
Revelation with Paul Jenkins.
Yeah, that was a great book. The kind of character design that he did in there. Which is a little less outlandish than his superhero stuff.
Yeah.
Like his superhero stuff, it's huge feet and giant fists and jumping
this is,
at
this
you.
This is more like the big forehead and the.
How does he draw regular people? It's still got that cartoony.
It's very expressive.
Signature,
very expressive.
But yeah,
which I love.
That's what you see here. But yeah, I can see what you say about the colors. It's just
a little over rendered.
It's the way I feel about most. Well, most of the Top Cow books, most Marvel and DC books to me, whenever I look at them, it's just the colors are just so much. And this
not everybody can be Dave Stewart.
Yeah,
who I love.
They want to, I can go 20 minutes about coloring in comics these days. But
well, let's get
it's
to
just, like, just because you all, can do it doesn't mean
let's
you
see
should,
if we have 20 minutes to fill at the end.
Okay. I've forgotten what I wanted to say by then.
I'll just sit here and be
dead air.
Dave,
20 minutes
coloring.
Of us sitting around going.
What are you talking about?
That's cool.
Ms. Brown, what you got for us?
I don't know. I think I'm going to change my mind.
You can do that.
I don't know. I like what you have in front of you. Quickly.
Okay, I'll stick with this. I'll stick with this. I have Freddy in Me. It's an autobiographical graphic novel by Mike Dawson about his love of the band Queen.
I've been extremely intrigued by that book, but I have not read it yet. But
yeah, Mike, he was born in England, so grew up there and moved. I think he was seven when he moved to America, and but so it kind of tells this whole story of transitioning from the UK to here and. Trying to fit in at school and normal kind of growing up stuff, but the bridge through everything is Queen and how
as it is with everyone
exactly he marks different periods of time with different albums coming out or Freddie Mercury dies and people are the other guys at school are making fun of him for being upset about.
Does the mustache play a big role?
No.
That was a really bad joke.
There was a joke there?
Yeah, any mustache plays a big role.
I don't think
by necessity.
The mustaches do tickle.
But, yeah, so. So, there's no. He does.
Hi-oh!
Yeah, side.
I got
you can't follow that.
You totally lost that.
Just what? Good book.
You totally locked
it. I liked it. This book tickles.
Tickles your mind.
No, it's it's a pretty funny book. Like there's like one of the best scenes. There's he when he's first shows up in America and he wears the fishnet shirt. He wears it to school, like thinking, like I'll be cool. Like, and, and, like
you can't actually dress like those rock and roll stars.
Yeah, so there's lots of like lots of moments of you know like and you know there's this talent show, and he sings Bohemian Rhapsody, and they like they cut him off. And he's like, but there's more.
Yeah, there's like 10 minutes more.
Like you understand, we haven't
even got to the good part.
Yeah. And it's a well drawn book, and it's a good thick read. So if you're looking for something to sit down with on a rainy day, and
you love Queen
with a cup of chamomile, and
yeah.
Nice, if you had a childhood where you were attached
to something, bottle of Cabernet.
You were attached to something that embarrassed you in front of people, and you tried to emulate it, you know.
I have a 26-foot Doctor Who scarf at home.
You need to read this book.
Nerd.
Immediately. Nerd. Did you wear it to school?
You know, I think he mentions Doctor Who in here.
Nice.
Did you ever wear your 26-foot scarf to school?
There were Halloweens that it would make an appearance at school.
I.e. Monday through Friday.
Monday, yeah.
Is there anything that
every day is Halloween for Chris. I'm Doctor Who.
I can travel to any Halloween, any day of the week.
I've gone to Halloween in 1871.
My bike is called the TARDIS. Is there any?
I bet you did call your bike the TARDIS.
Also, Mike. Whereas Mike likes Queen, his sister is a big George Michael fan. So
of course,
my wife and my mother went and saw George Michael this week.
Really?
It's true. They should read this book also.
I will.
Not everything. As much, I'm sorry. Everything after he, you know, he left Wham, was just no good.
My wife would beat you down.
It's all about Wham.
My wife.
Bam, I am the man.
Originally was editing him. No one would say no to George Michael after he left.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would compare this book to of other stuff that you've read?
It's in the mode of the other like autobiographical kind of books. Maybe not like Fun Home, mm-hmm. the Alison Bechdel book. Not as
torturous,
loaded down with with.
And I mean that in a good way.
Suffering.
Yeah. Or like Blankets, but not as you know filled with angst. It's like he pokes fun of himself, and he kind of knows like this, like it's kind of like he knows it's kind of silly how much he likes Queen, but he's not afraid to like you know talk about it, and
because that's him, and that's and
I like Queen.
I stayed up listening to Queen when I was 17.
Nice. And who's published by again?
I think it's Bloomsbury or something like a. Bloomsbury. They're not a normal comics publisher.
Yeah.
They're like one of the, you know, like these big book publishers coming in and poaching the indie talent, I guess.
Is it
Simon & Schuster?
Simon & Schuster, yeah.
I don't know. Hey, I still kick it old school, so.
Okay.
Exactly. So he's still, like, just doing it like he
You still
to.
Got stuff coming out from the shelf.
I'm still doing stuff top shelf. The MMA book is... As you mentioned,
That MMA book is gonna blow up though once it hits.
It's gonna be huge.
Gonna be released in whatever UFC is that month. And
yeah, it'll be like cover. It'll be
come out.
Someone in a ring will use it as a weapon.
I'm trying to get a blurb from Dana White. It's gonna be like lots of F words.
Oh, nice.
This doesn't fucking suck.
All right, then. Yeah, that's a positive. That's an A+.
Okay. Just hope they don't sue me for, like, encroaching on their...
On their turf.
Wait, we were going to do a UFC comic book. This is...
This is too much
infringing on our trademark.
Yeah, it's been in the works for years.
Plus, we have a trademark on choking someone out.
Yeah.
we were gonna have a 60-page fight scene too, and it was gonna be fucking awesome.
The problem with all the choke moves and everything are copyrighted, so you can't have them.
Yeah,
I know that because
at my high school graduation, I put someone into an Iron Sheik, and Iron Sheik sued me filmed it.
Did you smooth things over at Wizard World?
No, but I talked to Honky Tonk Man, and our famous internet feud is over.
And he said he'd put in a word.
He
for
put
you
in a word. One of my three big feuds is over now. There's Honky Tonk Man, Iron Sheik, and Terry Gross.
Gross. I hate that bitch.
Are you still following Ultimate Warrior on Twitter?
Yeah, he stopped though. I think he doesn't have the
same
commitment.
Crazy. I was watching TMZ. They were talking about his.
Well, there's your problem
internet.
Right there.
Well, I watch People's Core and.
Hey,
Harvey
People's
Levin,
Core's good
Harvey
stuff.
Levin,
don't group it in with TMZ.
People's Core. He's on TMZ. Like, yeah. It's like, I was like, for a while, I didn't know why I was watching TMZ. I was like, wait, that guy looks familiar.
He's the guy for People's Core.
And then I captured a screenshot, and then I photoshopped a suit onto him.
And then
I Googled some haircuts and, like, got some different hair on, and I was like, it's the guy from People's Core.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's the guy who stands outside with
shit.
The idiots in New York.
Mellon?
No, the new People's Court.
I don't
with, Judge
Million.
Marilyn.
She's the hottest judge on TV.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hotter than Joe Brown?
Oh, man.
Well, Judge Joe Brown is canceled, right?
We all know.
We don't see him anymore, do we?
He's still on.
Is he?
This morning.
Was he?
He's Repeat. Still doling out justice,
sir. I just kind of like Joe Brown because he sits back and he goes, I'm Judge Joe Brown.
We all know Judge Mathis
is
the top, so let's just
keep it on the down low. When's your Judge Joe Mathis comic? When's your comic about judge shows coming out?
I don't know. I mean, I mentioned them.
He's been doing a lot of research.
I did. Judge Mathis did show up in the last.
Is
Judge Mathis from Michigan? Does his show in Chicago? I'm from Michigan, came to Chicago.
Yeah, it's a parallel line.
Like, were you both like, did you both get into the drug dealing and the gang stuff when you were young? You know, like he did, and got busted, and then straightened yourself out and went to law school.
I traded baseball cards to my friend's brother so he would give me some
that's like
Red
drug
Series
dealing.
Empire Strikes Back cards.
Yeah. That's as bad as crack.
That's as bad as heroin.
Yeah, that's. Dealing.
I traded something for something else.
Yeah.
Just like crack cocaine.
I had to go to his room, we shut the door, and he was like, he pulled a box out of the bottom of the closet.
He put the towel at the bottom of the door, turned on the Hendrix.
Do you really want to spend some money? These cards
are
real good.
Now I've got
good.
Another box of some really good cards.
Like, they're really good.
Some of the cards in this other box.
These are my Bahama Mama cards.
They're only in, like, one in every 30 packs.
Maui Wowie cards.
Maui Wowie cards.
This card will keep you happy today.
Yeah, cards were bad for me. I got really into
illegal
magic.
Illegal drug trading
and,
cards.
You were doing the magic thing?
Yeah, and I finally got out of it. I still buy hockey cards every once in a while.
What was the moment that you gave up on Magic to gather?
The moment I noticed that prices started going down, I was like, crap. Like, and also I was in college drinking beer and just like
you showed
like,
up to a party and you tried to trade like a really awesome card for a cup and
actually
like,
you know what I was it was actually after college that I get out of it now that I think about it so but I
you rode that storm out
I got out just like I got in just at the right time where like people with the old cards didn't know like nothing had gone like super expensive so they had these old cards and like but they were trading like equal to the new cards and I was just buying the new cards and trading for old cards and I ended up with like all these old cards that like went up in value and like all the stuff I traded for them were stayed
garbage.
About the same and so it's like
you know what to call that
so I think
nerd stocks.
Yeah, I think I feel good because I about broke even on the whole deal.
Dude,
how's your HeroClix?
I've got a closet full of HeroClix.
Yeah, you're waiting for that HeroClix money to start rolling in.
I knew Chris would start talking about the closet.
All right, that will take care of our top of the stack, which means it's the time of the show that we get to get in touch with one of our favorite creators over the phone. And right now we have Simon Oliver on the line. Simon, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
It's been quite a while since we talked with you. It's probably been, gosh, maybe almost a year or so.
Yeah,
maybe about a year, yeah.
And here we are on the eve of the last issue of The Exterminators, getting ready to come out here in a week or two. So, first of all, congratulations on wrapping up your first series at Vertigo.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it's like 30 issues. I got the 30th issue.
It's pretty crazy.
Is the 30th issue going to blow my mind?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. I literally had to wrap everything up in 3 issues. That I was planning on doing over 20 issues, so it was kind of crazy to get it all in, but I think I got most of it in. Hopefully it will tie some loose ends off, and, you know, I'd like to come back to it at some point. I have this feeling that it's not completely dead.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's bittersweet for fans that have been with the Exterminators from the beginning. It was really it's kind of funny because the Exterminators was one of the first books that
it was the first book I picked when we did the first episode.
Was it really?
Yeah.
So the Exterminators is
not ending, are we?
Yeah.
Did I not find out?
This could be a bad omen for the show, Simon, because we've kind of had this parallel.
You're getting to outlive the Exterminators. In years to come, you'll be like, remember that book?
But it's kind of been there since the beginning for us with the show, and we've loved it for so long. But I mean, there was definitely kind of a change in the feel of the book whenever about the time that people started finding out that it wasn't going to be able to go a full 50 issues. Has it been difficult for you to compress as much story and throw a bunch of the stuff that would have been, you know, more of the character development out so you could get a resolution?
Oh, yeah. No, I had to drop a lot of stuff that I was planning to do, which, you know, I had the things that I had the most fun with were the kind of strange tangents that I went off on and the strange, like, peripheral characters that I didn't really get a chance to go back into those as much as I wanted to. It was like, you know, you got to finish the story off. You've got to kind of, you know, you've got to start moving faster. So it was like, yeah, I'm kind of screwed here. I got to finish it in a very limited number of issues, which ended up coming down to like 3 issues, basically.
Well, one of my favorite issues, actually, since sort of around when we found out I was going to end at 30 was the one-shot issue where they're on the cruise boat.
Ship.
Yeah. I was reading and I was like, I really loved the sort of one-shot issues because it made sense in the total story, but it was also like a chance to do something that was just really weird and on its own. Yeah, just a really fucked up story in of itself on the side. And I was
what I loved about that story is that, you know, we've seen, you know, hundreds of times the stories about the subterranean culture in cities, you know, like you know, 300 feet below the streets of New York, there's this whole subculture. It'd never been done on a cruise ship before.
Yeah, put it on a cruise ship.
Yeah. No, that was, I actually wrote that a little while ago, and that script was kind of sitting for a while before we actually got around to drawing, and it is the only, out of those 30 that we did on Exterminator, it's the only one that's like truly a standalone issue that has nothing, you know, tied into the big plot. And that was that kind of stuff I wish, you know, the book was continuing, but I had more of a chance to do like one shot or just 2 story arcs that are similar to that, which just take those characters and put them somewhere completely different without much explanation and have them do something that's really fucked up and weird. That's basically how that came about. But yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the X-Files had the big big sweeping, you know, mythology that they developed, but I think a lot of fans love the one-shot stories are the ones that kind of stand out, and that was the same thing.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, no, that, it's just that kind of stuff that I wish that I'd have a chance to do more of. You know, maybe in the future I can pitch Vertigo with, you know, like a graphic novel or something along those lines.
Just a...
know, to do a straight graphic novel or something that's completely, like, plucked out of, you know, like, from the files of the Exterminators kind of thing.
Tales of the
Exterminators. Just a book about Stretch.
Yes.
Just a book about Stretch.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, all that, you know, if we'd gone the full run or maybe gone longer, you know, the 50 that I'd initially planned it as, but definitely I would have gone more into, you know, his character. I had, like, that scientist that I introduced, the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
That I was going to do stuff with. I had a whole bunch of characters that never even made it into the book, which hopefully I'll find space for in something else. Yeah. You know, like a Guatemalan hitman. All kinds of strange characters I was going to bring in, but I didn't have a chance because I had to, you know, I had to start wrapping the story up.
Well, it was really your first comics work, and you've expanded. You've done some more stuff now, which we'll get to in just a second. But what's the learning curve been like for you? Do you look back whenever you first started on Exterminators and where you are now as a comics writer, having, you know, 40 issues now under your belt in comics, and have you learned a lot about the craft of writing comic books?
Yeah, I think I have. And the weird thing is that I've actually slowed down a lot. It actually takes me longer now to do a book most of the time than it did back then. Yeah, I'm trying to work on some stuff that I didn't really have a clear idea on. You know, just the stuff that I felt I was weak on in those first arcs of the Exterminators. I'm trying to tighten up my skill at. You know, certain things come very easy. I think all writers have things that come easily to them initially. With my things like characters and dialogue was really easy for me, but then maybe some of the overall storytelling thing I was kind of weak on. So I'm really trying to like tighten up, you know, all aspects now. So it's kind of slowed me down a little bit, but you know, hopefully it will come through.
Are you gonna try and work with Tony Moore again, hopefully in the future?
Oh yeah, no, he's a genius. You kidding me? He was just it blows me away. Like I was looking at, I was doing typos on the last issue last week, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing just seeing his stuff just pop up the page. He brings he always brings like his best game. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, he sweats blood when he does those things, and it really shows.
Yeah. You never see like an off issue where you're like, his art isn't that good in this one. Mm-hmm. Like, he rushed through this one. You never see sort of like a bad Tony Moore drawn issue of anything.
No,
he don't. He never. Yeah, no, I've never. He's always. And every time I write a script, I know exactly everything I write in there. He picks up on what's important. I mean, it was really great for me as a new comic writer to have someone like Tony as the artist, because, you know, there's just certain things with Tony that are complete given. You know what I mean? That he doesn't screw up on, and it really like gave me a chance to kind of concentrate on things that I needed to concentrate on, because I didn't have to worry about the artist at all, which was really nice.
Sure.
You didn't have to describe how horrific a giant cockroach needed to be. You know,
he was completely on the same page when it came to, like, you know, especially the later issues. I'd just be like, you know, this is what I want, just pull all the stops out and make it as gross as you want.
Yeah. You didn't have to have, like, an Alan Moore 10-page explanation of, this is how horrible this bug is.
The etymology of cockroaches.
Yeah, no.
Well, you're working on a new series now from Vertigo that is a miniseries on a character that is a couple decades old and has never gotten a miniseries. It's Hellblazer Presents Chaz. So tell us a little
bit. Knowledge.
Yeah. Yes, The Knowledge.
Yeah, it just came out last week, and I'm just actually writing the last. I've got like a rewrite to do on the last issue, but it's pretty much done for me. It's been great. It's been pretty cool because it's based in London. That's where I'm originally from. So I got to kind of use references from people that I knew and stuff like that in London. It's been really fun doing it.
Wait, you're English?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not from Arkansas. Can you believe that?
The thing that intrigued me the most, I don't really read Hellblazer, but reading about the whole concept of what it takes to be a cab driver in London completely fascinated me, because living in Chicago, where when I take a cab, I have to pretty much drive the car to get to, like, to where I'm going. Because they always look at me like, I don't know where you go. I'm just like, a city that actually requires the people that are driving cabs
to know where they're going.
To know where the fuck they're going. Like, it's
I think it's pretty much unique in the world. I mean, my granddad was a taxi driver.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
I think part of the reason they gave me the key was, oh, my granddad was a taxi driver. Like, he was? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, great, you'd be perfect. I'm like, what? Oh, great.
He was
a taxi driver for like, he'd been dead for 20 years, and I think he was a taxi driver for like 50 years, maybe longer.
Wow.
He was driving a taxi during the Blitz.
If you don't know, someone who's listening, to get a license to sort of drive a taxi in London, you have to memorize all, like, the streets.
25,000 streets.
The major routes. You have to be a bit of a tour. Yeah,
like 25,000 street names and place names.
Yeah.
And you have to go in front of a board, and you're asked, you know, how do you get between here and here? You have to be able to name, like, every street that you pass, every point of interest, every tube station. I mean, you have to know it back to front to get a Hackney license. It takes about 2 or 3 years to get one.
Wow.
Jesus.
I mean, it's a huge deal, but it's a pretty good job once you get it. I mean, it's a pretty good job, and it actually has some, you know, credibility to it in London, being a proper Hackney driver.
I would love to go to a city where if I got into a cab, I could tell them where I was going, and I didn't have to have, like, a MapQuest printed out map to know that, like, I'm actually going to get where I'm going.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and do you hear me, New York City?
Now, this is going to be a four-issue miniseries, correct?
I hope it's 5, because I've just written the 5th.
Oh, okay, five issue, okay. It's, no, okay.
Yeah, no, it's 5, so, yeah, it'll be coming out. I mean, it just came out, what are we in now? July, so it will run nearly to the end of the year. And I'm sure it will be
Actually, Vertigo just emailed us, and they told us you're going to have to finish that story up in 4, if that's okay.
They're just going to put a sticker on the back of the book saying how it ends.
Yeah.
This is what happens in the last issue.
Yeah.
Now you worked on a very different book from Hellblazer or Exterminators. How was it working on Gen 13?
It was pretty cool, actually. It was like my little stab at doing a superhero book, and I kind of enjoyed it. I hope it went down okay. I don't really know, but yeah, it was kind of fun. It was kind of fun to do it. I tried to kind of do a different take on it and put them in New York and take them out of the spandex and kind of have them have a unique, you know, New York experience as they move around the city and stuff. And I kind of have fun with it. I actually wouldn't be opposed to doing another superhero book at some point.
Getting lost in a cab.
Yeah, in New York.
I don't think I ever had them in a cab.
Well, besides Hellblazer and Exterminators wrapping up, what else can we look for on the horizon from Simon Oliver?
I just did a graphic novel called Noche Roja, which Jason Latour is going to be drawing. I think he started it like this week.
Fantastic.
But, I guess it's going to take him about a year. It's 180 pages.
Latour's stuff is Jason is a fantastic artist. So
I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does. And it's going to be black and white. It's part of this detective series that Vertigo is putting out from a bunch of different writers. I think mine might be the last book that comes out in that series, so it might be about 18 months away, or maybe even longer. But mine's a pretty hard boiled noir story set on the border between U.S. and Mexico, about murder and politics and poverty, and it was cool. It was fun to do something that was, you know, long, basically. I mean, it was a pretty big undertaking, but I think it'll be cool. I'll do a couple more drafts, probably run through and find out dialogue and stuff, and I'm pretty much done with that, but it was fun to do.
What was it nice having a bigger canvas, so to speak, to work with, and in terms of a graphic novel as opposed to 22 page comics?
It was good. It's actually weird because I've actually only written a couple of 22 pages since then, and it seems so incredibly short now. It seems like I can just toss that out in a couple of days. That's nothing. 180 pages. That's a story.
Nice.
So it's kind of nice. I'm kind of I enjoy the 22-page thing. It's weird. You know, I think every comic book writer has a love hate thing with the 22 pages. But I think that's actually one thing, going back to your question earlier about the things that you learn. And I think you learn how to, it gets much easier deciding, okay, this scene, how many pages? When I'm outlining at the beginning, it's like, that scene, I can do that in 3 pages, that one in 2 pages. And you learn to be more economical, and you learn how to be economical with the pages and make them count.
Well, is that it as far as, we know these comic book writers and artists, they've got all of the secret projects that they can't talk
about. Secret projects. I'm actually taking over Hellblazer, the main title.
Really?
Which I don't know if anyone knows. I think you're the first people to hear. I guess they're going to announce it at Comic-Con, so I'll probably get in trouble.
Scoop. We got a scoop. Our first scoop.
Yeah, you got the scoop. That was the scoop I was promising you.
Yeah. So you'll be taking, is it Andy Diggle that's been on that?
Yeah. He's on that now. And I'm taking over, I can't remember the issue number that I'm taking over on, but I'm writing it. I literally just started. I outlined it a couple of weeks ago, then had some other stuff to do, but I actually started writing it yesterday.
I really can't think of a more perfect book for you to be writing. As far as established stuff.
I'm stoked about it. It's like, it's fun. I mean, I wrote the Constantine character in the Chaz. He's in there a reasonable amount, but he's a really fun character to write. And it's not too much of a stretch for me to do all that dialogue.
Sure. You should, have you picked up Jason Aaron and Sean Murphy's last issue?
I haven't seen it yet. I need to pick it out and read it.
You'll like, I'll leave it at this. Dog sex. And one of the participants is not a dog. So
Excellent.
It screams Hellblazer, my friend.
it's pretty messed up. I think it will appeal to your sensibilities. So
I need to think of something. My first arc I'm doing, I don't think is that I've got nothing in it that particularly stand out, especially compared to the Exterminators. Disgusting, but I've got like a little 2 or 3 issue arc that I'm planning, but I really want to pull the stops out.
Cat sex.
Cat sex.
One of them.
Yeah, no, I need to have one where it's just like, I'm just going to go for it.
Nice.
And, do something that outdoes the Exterminators in terms of that.
All right. Well, Simon, it is always a pleasure talking with you, and we have to make sure to not not another year before we touch base with you again.
Yeah, hopefully when the first, I'm not sure when it starts coming out, because I haven't even finished writing it yet, but the first of my Hellblazer run, maybe I should come back for that.
All right, well, we will definitely make people aware of that whenever it comes out. So, well, Simon, thank you so much, and we will stay in touch and hopefully hear from you before the end of the year here.
Yeah, definitely.
So messed up, I want you here. In my room, I want you there. Now I want to be face to face. Now lay right down in my favorite place. Now I want to be your child.
Thank Simon Oliver. Always good to hear from Simon. And yeah, it's kind of weird because you're right. We've been talking about Exterminators.
That was my first top of the stack.
We called it a beautiful train wreck.
Wow.
Way back when.
Wow.
Yeah,
you guys are old. I remember then.
back then, back in the old days, when it used to just be out on vinyl. We used to put out
Underground Comics on vinyl. I got the
45 on a 45.
I had the first three or four of those LPs.
I hear the sounds better on the vinyl.
See, I have the original when you guys used to write, you know, it was around comics to the Thessalonians.
Oh, yeah.
You
know,
and you shall read this
thou
book.
Thou shalt read thine comics upon thine hill after sunset.
The around comics tablets.
You shall read five before the sunset and an even number after.
Well, it's good to hear that Simon is continuing to write after Exterminators, and hopefully he's a guy that
you're just happy to hear that he didn't disappear.
Yeah, go on to TV and movies and that kind of stuff. He's a guy that it seemed to really grasp the comic book skill set pretty early. I mean, there are a lot of folks that come over to writing comics from other mediums, and it takes them a little while.
From issue one.
Yeah,
and
I'm
going to miss that book.
I'm going to miss it too. And my big regret on that, and it still remained entertaining. It is not as compelling as it was early on. Like the first two trades of the Exterminators are awesome, but it seems like whenever they found out that book wasn't going to be able to hit the 50 mark,
like cram it in at the end. I can see why he wants to finish off the story, you know, even though he has to compress the end. You know, I almost feel like he should just
leave it open ended.
Sort of written it as like it wasn't going to end, and it just cuts off. You know, just like, well, I'm not the one who canceled the book, so don't complain to me.
Yeah.
You know? But can I still write for you?
Yeah.
In another book?
Is that right? Is that
cool? And I'll tell you what, I hope we didn't get him in trouble by him giving us the information that he's going to be writing Hellblazer. You never know with the, you know, giving out information.
He doesn't know anything about the internet. He has no idea. Yeah.
But that is a perfect
it's
book
a series
for him.
Of tubes.
It is an absolutely perfect book for him to be writing. It's a British character. It's got that, you know, bizarre mystical feel to it, and I think he is gonna. I couldn't pick another writer to do Hellblazer.
I just want him to like start throwing in the characters from like a luchador that fights rats,
squeezes
like
the life out of rats. Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to write Exterminators. I'm just gonna I'm going to finish up what I was going to do. Yeah. I'm just going to call it Hellblazer.
Screw this Constantine guy.
He'll just show up in the background.
Constantine. When did Constantine get that yellow shirt and that cap, and why has it got the Exterminator's truck? I don't get
it. What's this Bugby gun?
Yeah. What's he doing with that?
Oh, it's a London taxi cab driver. Bugby gun car. Talking about writers that come over from TV or movies or whatnot. There's a guy that is writing Eternals right now and had done some Iron Man work. David Knopf, right?
Knopf.
And I know that Dave, what series for HBO he was the creator and basically lead writer for?
What's his name? Knopf?
David Knopf.
No.
Sex
what?
In the City.
Carnival.
Oh, I don't know Carnival. What are you looking at me for?
Carnival.
No, I thought. Weren't you a big fan of Carnival?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh, this. Oh, I thought you were a fan of that show. That's why I was.
That's why he was calling you out.
No, this. Oh my gosh, I can't put because this is your type of show. I just.
No, I've never seen it. Doesn't it have The Wiz in it? Is it The Wiz? I'm The Wiz.
No, it is.
Nobody beats me. Does he act like that? Because if he acts like that, I'll watch that show.
It is such a brilliant show.
I haven't seen it.
Let me give you. Okay, I was.
I don't have cable, so I see them as whenever, you know, DVD or whatever.
Netflix
whenever he can break into someone's house.
No, what I do is I have a telescope, and my neighbors across the way have
they
cable.
Have
so
network.
Whatever they're watching, I can watch too. I can't hear it.
Yeah,
but,
you can lip sync or
I make up my own words.
Well,
I wonder what they're saying.
I was at Best Buy this week, and they had a big sale on TV seasons, and they had both
because DVDs. Are going out.
Well, with Blu-ray coming in, but they had both seasons of Carnival, which are normally like $55. HBO series are expensive.
Yes, they are.
But they had both seasons for $20 a piece.
More of a Deadwood guy.
And I loved that series when it started coming out, but I never watched the second and final season because we cut our HBO, blah, blah, blah. So I picked up both
seasons. Blah, blah, blah. I lost my job. Blah, blah, blah.
Yada, yada,
yada. And I woke up in the jail.
Started watching the series, and the setup for Carnival, if you're interested in picking up the DVDs, 1930s America, Dust Bowl America, ooh, okay, and California.
Dusty.
And it is the, and it even says, I think on the cover of the jacket, it's the last age of magic. That's the kind of the concept is that there's still magic and mysticism in the world, and it's kind of that last age of magic in like Depression era America. And the main story is centered around a carnival, which is more a traveling freak show with some carnival rides and games and stuff.
And so it's,
you
get creepy.
It is very. Did you watch it?
No, I just looked, seen the posters on the bus.
It is
for advertising. It's
poster on the bus
two.
Is creepy.
Like,
it is
creepy.
so atmospheric, and so you have this traveling freak show, and there's a character that gets introduced very early, and he gets picked up by the carnival and starts working with them. And there's another character in California who is a minister, and both of these characters are the ones that in each generation there is a force of good and a force of evil, and they will eventually battle each other. And
so it's a good show, what you're saying.
It is so good. And there are so many overarching mythology to it, and then so many
two seasons, right?
Yeah, and it got canned. And I was talking to Sal about that today.
HBO is like Vertigo. They have all these great things. They get canned early.
Well, it was a show that it was hard to jump in like four or five or six episodes.
Well, that's the way all the best shows are.
Exactly. I mean, and now I think if they started...
Mama's Family.
Mama's Family.
If they started that show right now...
It's not the same without Carol Burnett, though. The original skit. Yeah.
But when Eunice did a guest spot on there, I tell you, it really brought the magic back.
Okay. I was just joking, but apparently other people know all about it.
If they had started that show in the last year or two, now that the whole DVD seasons thing is come along, and people, they kind of wait for the trade for TV shows now. I
wait for the series to be finished. I won't watch anything.
I wait for it to get canceled.
Yeah,
I wait for the comic book adaptations.
Well, you know what? That's almost true. It's true because I've recently discovered some television that I had not seen, and luckily somebody, I know I've come out against illegal digital distribution of comics. I won't go out and seek it, but if somebody's going to throw shit up on YouTube, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I wouldn't have seen the 4400 or Firefly if I hadn't seen them on YouTube, and now I'm very happy that I did.
How's 4400? It always looks interesting. I've never spent the time to watch.
It's really good. It's like, imagine if the show Heroes had good writers and good actors. Yes.
Yeah. It's impossible.
No, it is because I was watching it, and I was like, which one came out? This one or Heroes? Because there are some very similar things that go on.
Yeah, 4400's been on for a long time.
Yeah, well, it's canceled now.
Yeah.
It had four seasons, and I've got one episode left. And it's outstanding. I mean, I really, it's like... It's hard for me to really give a damn about characters and stuff, but it's the kind of show
you hate people.
Where it's true. I hate humans.
Well, I tell you,
it's the kind of thing where it's really good. I mean, I don't know if the plot of it is 4,400 people who have been abducted over the past like 50 years come back all at once. They have no memory of where they've been.
They haven't aged.
They're just returned to the earth. They haven't aged a day, and they come back, and some of them have powers.
What?
So then it starts from there. That's just the beginning, and then it turns into this whole... But it's great because it's one of those stories where it's like your favorite character might not make it.
They don't end with 4,400.
No, there's that kind of tension that I really enjoy in a show. That's what I liked about Deadwood too, because you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know who's going to die next. Well, I know that historical figure isn't, but I don't know about the fictional characters. So and I just think that makes for a better, a more engaging and more exciting, and you're nervous through it.
Well, I tell you what, I promised Sal that I was going to let him borrow Carnival as I'm finishing up the seasons. Once he watches them, well, send them your way, because it is your type of.
If I have time to watch some damn TV, I'll get to.
It's engaging stuff. It cool. is good. Speaking of other forms of entertainment that are out there on big and small screen, we have an email from Jimmy Chang, who writes in and says that he had a press screening of The Dark Knight, and I managed to catch it. Without spoiling the movie, all I have to say is Heath Ledger is the best Joker to date. The movie was mostly about the Joker.
Romero. if you don't have a mustache covered in makeup, you aren't the Joker. As far as I'm concerned.
Thank you. I mean, three votes. Jimmy's wrong.
I love Cesar Romero. Okay. The movie was mostly about the Joker and Harvey Dent. I was disappointed with the Batman in this one. He's not as cool, and it felt like a James Bond movie. When Morgan Freeman shows up, he's basically Q. Batman sounds like crap every time he talks with that growly voice. Yes, worse than even when he said, rattle the cages in the first one. Well, enough of a rant. It was a great movie. What? Anybody heard rumors of Anthony Michael Hall playing a villain in the next movie? So, you know, we're getting some...
I heard rumors that he was playing one in this movie, and he's not, apparently, huh?
Oh.
I thought he was, like, the big
thing with
secret.
The thing with Batman, I think that's funny, because it sort of reminds me of how people are like, oh, man, the Hulk in the new Hulk movie doesn't look real. Well, yeah, well, no shit. It's like a 10-foot giant green guy. It's not real. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's fiction. That's how that stuff works. Like,
I had a fanboy moment when I was like, wait a minute. The Hulk is walking through that stream, and the stream is not reacting to his footprints. But I thought, you know, I can let go of that.
Yeah.
I can let go of that because it was actually a very entertaining movie.
I really enjoyed the Ang Lee one, and I like the new one.
I mean, if it's good, then I'll have two Hulk movies to love.
I thought it was a better movie overall than Iron Man.
Yes, I agree.
I don't go to movies. Iron Man was a lot of fun. To come to me.
Dave has a life. And Sal, no, I don't have a life. That's why I don't see movies. Well, Sal was talking about this. If you're not a comic book fan, or if you don't really know that much about Iron Man. Iron Man as a movie was very good because it was a retelling of the origin. Yeah. But if you're so familiar with that story, you kind of knew what was going to happen, and so you weren't as on the edge of your seat.
I don't know a whole lot about Iron Man, so I would think it would be...
The best thing about the Hulk movie is that like the origin took like 30 seconds.
It was the opening credits.
Then they got into the story, and the story was really good.
Yeah.
And it was like, there's a very subtle distinction between the Ang Lee and the new version is that, and I think this is why
it doesn't have Eric Bana.
No.
It has someone that can act.
Here's the difference.
Is Sal here?
No, here's
oh,
the difference.
Oh, no, that's Chris.
He's terrible.
The difference between these two movies and the reason why the new one might resonate with people more is the Ang Lee Hulk.
Yes.
Bruce Banner can't express his feelings because of like a mental block in his own mind. He's incapable of it. Well, in the new version, he's like in denial in that he definitely can express his feelings, but he chooses not to in his own. You know, there's nothing stopping. He just chooses not to do that.
In the first one, he's a real pent up kind
of guy. But he doesn't have
a
reason
real
why.
Insulated. Yeah. You know, he just doesn't want to express his emotions.
Yeah. There's a difference in the two, and I think I like the Ang Lee one. I think
I like it a lot.
I think it's a different.
It had its merits. For me.
Whoa.
I think it's two very different approaches.
I've been through this conversation with him before.
It's two different approaches to Bruce Banner. Like,
that's
why
really
can't
like
he
really
express
is.
Himself?
Yeah.
Like, one, the Ang Lee took the route of the fact that he literally can't because he doesn't know what he wants to express.
Right.
Well, in the new version, it's more of Bruce Banner just
making a conscious decision. I can't deal with this. I don't want to deal with certain things.
I do think the idea of just having the comic book movies, just instead of doing sequels, just keep doing reinterpretation. Like, just keep having somebody
just come out with Iron Man again.
Have another Iron Man 1 and have it be a different director with a different vision, with a different. I mean, these are sort of like,
it's going to be so neat
like
to see
the
them
Greek
build up
myths
the
or something like that. Yeah. Like, you can do them over and over and over again, but do them in a different
that
way.
Sort of cool
but I don't know that
the
people would stand for it. I mean, people apparently aren't really standing for it in the Hulk because the numbers aren't. really being that is people aren't flocking to the second Hulk.
I liked both Hulk movies, and I thought they were just very different.
That's what I'm saying.
Very different movies.
Like, if we have another Spider-Man movie, get another director in there and have something, don't even relate it to the first three movies. Just have a whole new thing.
Two things on that. First of all, I think it is amazing what Marvel is doing right now, building up a continuity between the movies, and I think this could be one of the coolest geek things ever.
Well, good luck
if they pull it off.
Good luck in 7 years when you make your Avengers movie and Robert Downey Jr. is 7 years older.
Exactly.
I think
That's why they're churning them out.
How fast are you going to get that Avengers movie done?
If they can do this in like a 10-year window and get everything crammed in, it'll work.
Just don't sacrifice. Like, the only problem I have is you can't sacrifice good movie making.
Oh, they will.
For just satisfying the geeks.
God, yeah.
That's the one thing that drove me insane
about the Hulk movie. Too many fucking in jokes. There was like an in joke every like 10 minutes. Yeah. Movie. I was just like a little bit like, I don't care. You know, like I get it. It's like
it's Lou Ferrigno. What I liked about the Hulk more than anything is that I thought it had the most well-developed and believable villain. Tim Ross' character, the Abomination, he had a reason for existing, and they explained that. You don't see that in a lot of comic book movies. It's just, why is he the villain? Well, he's a bad guy. That's why he's the villain.
It was just a very well written. It was a solid movie. It was just a really well written,
good,
solid
movie. When it comes out for Netflix, enjoy it.
I'm anticipating the Batman Dark Knight. I'm not exactly sure how much, though. I don't think I'm getting as swept up in the hype as everybody else is. I am wondering if maybe the studio, because of Heath Ledger's tragic demise, if they actually have pumped up the role a little bit more in the film, maybe adding more scenes they weren't originally going to put in.
De-emphasize the Batman.
Well, I just think I try and divorce myself from the hype. Like, you listen to people. It's like the same thing with the Watchmen movie. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. You see a still from the Watchmen movie, and someone goes, this movie's going to suck.
Yeah.
No, you haven't seen the fucking movie.
I know. You can't tell shit.
Yeah, it's like...
I saw those stills, and I was like, this actually looks kind of good.
Yeah, I thought those... they showed the costumes or whatever. I was like, that looks perfectly respectable.
Well, I was such a bad fanboy moment that I went into the Hulk with zero to, low expectations, because there hadn't been any hype. I thought that was the biggest mistake that they had done. I think that's why Iron Man did so well and the Hulk hasn't measured up to that box office-wise. Iron Man was so hyped.
I think part of it, though, is that the regular movie going public is sitting around going, didn't they just do a Hulk movie?
I don't know if the public consciousness has that deep of a memory.
It's just a couple of years ago that they're going, there was just a Hulk movie, wasn't there? Wasn't there just a Hulk movie? Why do we want to see another Hulk?
Is it a sequel?
I think it's funny because Iron Man, as much as I enjoyed Iron Man, I think Iron Man was a good movie. I don't think it was a great movie. I think it was a good movie because they pretty much shoved Robert Downey Jr. on stage with a bunch of effects and let him do what he did.
He's great. He's great.
There's not a story for about 40% of that movie than him. It was still entertaining. Yeah.
It was very entertaining.
I think people should go back and watch the movie Wonder Boys, because you'll get Iron Man and Spider-Man in the same movie. Tobey Maguire. And it gets Robert Downey Jr. And it's a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
I love that. And it's written by
Michael Chabon.
Yeah.
I think.
The book was
The Avengers
Chabon,
movie.
Chabon or something.
The Avengers movie is such a pie in the sky.
I think it's fantastic that they're trying to build this continuity.
They have a hard enough time.
I think they're setting the bar too high.
Not to mention a multi-million-dollar movie with . So guess what happens when let's assume everyone gets really excited about all the people playing all these characters in these movies, and then 5 years from now they make an Avengers movie, and none of those guys are playing it because
they couldn't renegotiate the contracts, or they're all old, they got into
or they're like, I already played that character.
You can't spend $160 million on just the actors.
That would be like a clusterfuck. I mean, because they try to put a star for each of the individual movies, so now we're going to put all these
A-list stars. Like, well, and with now all the, you're all together, and it's like,
think
battle
about
it out,
the,
motherfuckers.
The controversy that they had with Ed Norton and the Incredible Hulk, where he's trying to get like writing and directing credits and shit like that.
Right.
Now put him in the movie with Robert Downey Jr., who's, come on, let's be serious. His ego has blown because of Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine the two, just the two of them?
Just the two of them.
Any
exactly.
Movie. Three it's other like guys. That would never, and then like three or four other people.
Yeah, and then if the rumors are like, you know, McConaughey maybe playing the Cap and.
What? All right. Yeah. I'm Captain America, everybody. All
hey,
right,
Bucky.
All right. That's the thing about Captain America.
Nazi,
they keep getting older, and I stay the same age.
Well, I'd like to thank Jimmy Chang for sending in that email. You can
thank you, Jimmy.
We have several
other
emails.
Is that the artist,
emails.
Jimmy Chang? Because.
I think that's Jimmy Chung.
Oh, that's right.
Do we have more emails?
We have more emails.
What?
We're going to save those for another episode. But if you would like to email us with more questions, we love hearing from everyone. You can email me at chris@aroundcomics.com, Tom at tom@aroundcomics.com, or
I might not answer you.
email me at chris@aroundcomics.com.
You can email me. I don't have it aroundcomics.com address.
I do not check
my email.
Or Steve at comicbookqueers.com. That works for me, too.
DavidDaveDrawsComics.com.
And I'd also like to mention that Jeffrey Brown had to leave to go see Hellboy 2 while we were doing our interview
He's
with Simon Oliver.
He's
going
to love it.
I hope so. I hope so. What a month. You think about it, it's Wanted.
Yeah, they're really saturating this market, aren't they?
Well, I'm worried
that they're going to saturate the market. In the regular movie going public, next year they're going to be like, I don't want to see another.
Yeah, we'll see.
And it's tough, because I want to sign a movie deal.
But it's been
with my stuff, and if it's too late, that sucks.
It'll be every week for a month. It was Wanted, Hancock,
Hellboy
2.
Looks so good.
It does look awesome.
That looks
and next week Batman. So that's 4 weeks in a row with a either comic book movie or a
we'll
comic book inspired
all
movie
on Netflix.
Tom and I are going to go see Hellboy on Sunday.
Yeah, are you?
We're
I'll go with
invite, guys.
If you get too scared, don't worry though. I'll hold you.
Call me. I'll go.
To be invited. Do we call Chris?
Yeah. Let's tell him we'll call him and not call him.
See you at the theater.
Sure. Chris? We'll meet you there on the Western AMC.
This is David Peterson, creator of Mouse Guard, and you're listening to Around Comics.
All right, well, Mr. Wachter, it's...
Yes. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
This is our first recording.
You look very good.
I am. I'm feeling
strong. Are you
strong.
Itchy? It's
yeah,
scratching.
Itchy.
Got He's freckly, too. He's got lots of freckles. You can't see it out there in podcast land.
Been rolling around in the poison ivy.
Awesome.
As Tom is looking at, first of all, very cool. We got mentioned in the Red Eye, which is one of the, it's the Chicago Tribune's free
it
newspaper.
It is maybe the bastion of journalism.
It
certainly is.
It is.
Hey, I got mentioned in the Real Tribune.
So Beatty got the.
Somebody
was
in the Real Tribune.
Our first newspaper appearance.
My name
cool.
is in print, and it's not next to a police blotter. That is a positive.
It's an accomplishment. This is our.
They spell it Tom Catters with a C.
Tom
Catters.
I'm kidding.
They did
Mr. Catters.
Well, this is our first recording post Wizard World Chicago.
Yes.
And Stevie was telling
That's
us
me.
That you guys are actually doing your Wizard World wrap up in a month or two.
August.
No, we're probably gonna do it next. Probably I think next week.
No, you should wait until September.
I thought about that.
Well, you know, you owe us. You owe us now. I'm waiting for the Around Comics. CBQ crossover, the other side of that. So
well, I definitely want to do that, and you guys have to come over sometime in the new CBQ cave to do that.
Oh, you guys have a new. It's kind of like whenever the JLA moved from the cave to the satellite.
Yeah,
you guys are on
so
a satellite
we went
now.
From a tower to a cave.
Oh,
yeah. No, we're in a cave.
Underground.
And I just want to mention really quickly that we were also mentioned in the Red Eye 4 months ago. So yeah, that's right.
Snap.
That's right.
Were you really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't you let us know?
Because I know the guy who writes the column.
Oh. Thanks for hooking us up, Steve.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
4 months ago.
What a jerk.
Could have been last summer, too. I don't really remember. A time doesn't work well for
Two
me.
Years
just
ago.
Took the air right out of the room.
Yeah.
Gosh.
No, we're trying to come up with a topic for you guys to come over and talk about with us. So
let us know.
I said beer.
I'm in.
And drink, comic book drinking.
And comic books and beer.
I read an article about booze and comics now.
It's like you're in Christown.
You're very happy about that.
Congratulations, you're an alcoholic.
Here's a little preview for next week's article. I found a drink called an El Chupacabra.
Yeah.
So, and you can just guess what comic book I'm going to be writing about. So
all of you All Around Comics listeners, we're going to be doing an intervention on the 15th. Yes.
The 200th episode is going to be the one where
it's
confront
gonna be an intervention.
Wow, look at everybody that's here. Why is my wife here? Mom,
we've never
is that
had,
you?
We're Chris, not supposed listen. To have this many people on the show.
Chris, listen, we just... Why don't you sit down? We just want to talk.
It's not your drinking,
Chris. Chris Burnham
would
be like, listen, I'm the artist of Nixon's Palace. And I think original graphic novel.
You know, great. I want to go to an intervention. I want to go to an intervention and drink. Like, I want to be drinking an intervention. Like, man, you.
I can handle my booze.
Look at me. Even I think you drink too much, dude. That's terrible, man.
I'm going to bring a quarter barrel.
Well, back onto what Mr. Wachter is working on here. Absolutely stunning preview book that you had at Wizard World Chicago, The Guns of Shadow Valley.
Well, thank you.
It was it's some of the nicest work that I've seen you do, that's saying
it
something.
Is the nicest.
It
work
is the nicest work I've seen you do.
So that's because everything else sucked. So
I wasn't gonna say anything, but
not really.
Tell us a little bit, Guns of Shadow Valley, where people can check that out.
Well, people give you money for it.
At San Diego Comic-Con coming up in the next week and a half. If you want to go there, we'll have we basically have the convention preview edition out right now that we're just selling at conventions. It's the first 17 and a half pages of the first issue plus 3 pages of exclusive material that I'm not going to put anywhere else. It's only going to be in that book, not on the internet or anything. And I'm doing free head sketches on the back end. It's just $2.
And they're not sketches. You're doing free commissions.
Well, here's
the
thing. Did you only put out a preview of 17 and a half pages because you do not know how the first issue ends?
So anyway, it's going to be...
We're at page 21, and we don't know how to end.
I know how the first issue ends, of course. Of course.
It'd be tomfoolery or anything otherwise.
Shut up, Tom. Seriously, shut up, Tom. No, I answered that question, right? But, for people who... it's just basically a big... it's a Western adventure title. Sort of a cross-genre kind of thing. At its heart, it's a Western, but if you like superheroes, you might find something you like in there, too. Essentially, it's a combination of superpowers meets sort of the Magnificent Seven.
You've been toying around with the superhero Western idea
since I've known you.
I've had the idea for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Just finally bringing it to a realization. And I'm co-writing this time along with Jim Clark, who was the writer on Scar Tissue. And I'm doing all the art from pencils through colors. Mm-hmm. And we've got Thomas Maurer doing beautiful letters, just great letters. I mean, sometimes you don't really appreciate a letterer, I think, sometimes until you've
had bad letters.
Hired a letterer, maybe. Yeah. You know, it's like, not that I've had a bad letter. I mean, a previous letter was great, but it's just until you see what they can do to your work, you know, and it's just like before they get to it, it's art, you know, it's pretty pictures, and by the time they're done with it, you have a comic page,
sure.
Yeah. And he does some his special effect, his sound effects and stuff like that are fantastic in it. And I think he picked up on a little bit of the Eisner vibe that I'm trying to put in there and stuff like that. So
I'll tell you what, colorists and letters are the offensive linemen of comics, and
offensive lineman is a reference to football.
Oh, thank you.
Football. Okay, thanks. Yeah, because I was...
American
was like,
football.
Soccer? Oh, I thought we were like... when he said it was offensive lineman, I thought it was just some guy who was a jerk who worked on... Yeah. You know, you know, who was a lineman for the county. I mean,
and basically the comparison is that you only notice linemen whenever they mess up. You know, if they do their job competently, you don't. You shouldn't notice them.
Well, that's good, because I'm the colorist on this one.
Yeah,
so.
And it's
a lot of freaking die for me.
You know, a good colorist, you know, really shouldn't be noticed. It should feel very natural, and especially probably a wetter.
I'm hoping that the book is so good that nobody notices it at all.
There you go.
It's so good that sounds like
no one even notices it's there.
And you, sir, have a very good chance of that happening.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you're. Oh.
I almost didn't notice it until you actually called out at me at the con. I was like, hi, Dave.
No, I don't think that's how it happened. But that's.
I was busy buying prints of Supergirl, like showing her panties.
You were at that table.
There's a table at every convention. Take your pick of
which
table.
That's two-thirds of the tables. You know, I'm just trying to make it a really fun, big, epic adventure. Big cast of characters. Each one has their own personality, their own look, and their own... You know, it's kind of a team book, you know?
Cool.
And I just think it'll be really cool. And I think it's the kind of... you know, I'm trying to stick true to the Western roots while... adding that little bit of extra to it.
It's also laid out like Rocketto.
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 Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Freschetta. Right. They make the best pizzas.
Yeah.
They're pizza good, size. But we did it landscape format, basically horizontally.
Oblong.
So that I was trying to. The idea is to have that sort of big sky country, John Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of epic scope, 70mm film scope to
widescreen.
That's widescreen. That's what I'm definitely going for. Yep.
So. Great feel. So look for that, the website.
Well, we have a website. It's gunsofshadowvalley.com. And right now we're soliciting it to publishers. So we're hoping that a publisher is going to pick it up. I'm pretty confident about it. And you'll see it in previews or wherever. Keep an eye out. What do you say?
Something about you sucking up. But you'll keep us updated. And it will definitely be hitting comic shop stands in the future. So
sure.
Yeah, it's
as opposed to the past.
Yeah.
Travel back to the past.
Well, I think that's it.
Steve's giving me the puppy eyes right now. I just want to take him home and. Give him some food and water.
I thought that was the plan.
Can you afford water?
Water's free. Well, so I can afford the water. It's the food.
Have as much water as you like.
Yeah, I can have plenty of water. But drinking water will help suppress your appetite for when you're really hungry. And I know this firsthand.
Drink a lot of water.
Well, before we finish up here, I have a couple thank yous and shout outs.
And a couple fuck yous.
First of all, Mike Mayhew is going to be joining us.
Is he a thank you or a fuck you?
He is a thank you. He's a future thank you. And a congratulations. Hopefully a congratulations. Mike Mayhew, great cover artist. He's going to be joining us in a couple weeks. We had originally planned to talk with him tonight, but he and his wife are expecting their first baby.
Is that a fuck you? Congratulations.
That is a congratulations.
Congratulations on reproducing.
Yeah. Fuck you.
So nothing official yet, but
I was wondering why Chris called, you know, emailed me. I was wondering who backed out. Who backed out tonight?
But Mike,
for him to email me. Now
but hopefully Mike and his wife are welcoming the new addition to their family here this weekend or in the next couple of days. Adam and Comfort, who post on the forum, they do a book called The Uniques.
Is this a fuck you or a thank you?
This is a thank you. met him at Wizard World Chicago and got a copy of their trade paperback. The Uniques looks really cool. I still have to dive into the book. Started it and what I've read is really good. So.
I heard they're just two halves of the same person. Really,
they post that way. Their forum posts are very interesting. Very nice people.
He says interesting with the quotes around it.
their forum posts are just like, really? But very nice people whenever we met them in person. And we will definitely talk about
that. It looks really good.
To mention because one of the books I was looking forward to picking up in Chicago is Lackluster World by Eric Adams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're looking forward to picking it up? He's been hawking it in Chicago for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I know. So every year I know I'm going to get a new one.
Awesome.
One a year. Yeah, one a year. That's how conventions work. You have the
true.
You get your one book a year from the people that you you see in Artist Alley. I enjoyed it, though.
So fuck you very much.
No, that's a thank you.
Do you have any fuck yous?
Well, let's see.
he's looking around the room.
Oh, why does he keep looking at me?
His eyes fell on me. Jeremy Mullins and the Scadcasters. This is a thank you.
All right, just
and they have a new podcast. It is called Sequel Lab. And
fuck you. You're now the competition. This is right like there will be blood. You're now competition.
you can check Shouldn't that they, out.
I abandoned my son. I haven't seen the movie, but that sounds hilarious.
Either, but yeah.
It's a comedy, right? Because it sounds hilarious.
Listen, Mullins, we're going to drink your milkshake, all right?
Ooh.
I got a straw that reaches all the way over the internet. To your podcast.
Through those pneumatic tubes.
Yeah. I'm so angry.
Drink your milkshake.
You can check out their podcast.
Shouldn't they be going to school? I mean,
they're on summer break. Yeah. You can check out their podcast at sequalab.com. So Sequel Lab, and for the folks that enjoyed the fill-in episodes that they did for us, go check out that podcast. All right, Tom versus JLA comes out once or twice.
How
a
is
week
that
now?
Show? Whatever, twice a week.
Whenever
is the show good. Is that a good show?
It's hilarious. From
I just don't like that Tom guy.
I've heard.
It's a fuck you.
11 o'clock comics. You can
fuck
hear me
you.
Get drunk and
saucy.
Say fuck you.
I know.
And,
mean Chris. I mean. Ooh, I hate things.
$3.99. Too much for a comic book.
At least for 11 o'clock comics it is, but when I come to $3.99
for a comic
play
book.
For sure.
There's never a situation where I would pay $3.99.
Chris has totally hit pause right now. He's not recording any of this, but it feels good to say it.
I would never pay $3.99 for
never,
a 22-page
comic Mark my
book.
Words. I will never, ever, 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 ever pay $3.99 for a 22-page ever.
I gotta
May God
that, so I
strike me down.
Oh, whoa, it's a cardstock cover.
Guess what my next Who You Crappin' segment's going to be about.
Ooh. It's about Chris. You're not, yeah.
So my question is, Chris Niesman, who you crappin'?
Who you crappin'?
check out my column, Comic Shots, every Thursday at ifanboy.com.
Huh? Oh.
So.
Ooh.
That's a thank you.
Just
can't get enough of Chris.
That's a fuck you.
And Tom, because people don't listen to me, can you request an iTunes review from people?
Give us an iTunes review. It's really important. If you don't realize this yet, this show is merely an exercise in narcissism. And if you have a bad review, don't leave it. Don't give us negative feedback. It's me ignore it. Yeah, that becomes a fuck you. Only positive. Only give us positive feedback. Feed our egos that don't deserve to even exist, but please send it to us. We need it badly. We live sad lives.
Or if you do leave a negative review, at least give 5 stars.
Yeah, leave a negative review with 5 stars.
Yeah.
5 stars. This show sucks.
Yeah, but as long as it's 5 stars, I look at it and go, yeah, it's good. Yeah, only positive.
Up.
That's the new Around Comics. Around Comics is taking a not only positive talking about comic books, but positive talking about us. No negative about us.
No negativity.
Nothing. If you didn't like the show, then stop listening.
I need to shut up then.
Yeah.
And go to hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go straight to hell.
If you
while
don't
you're
like
at
the
it.
Show, then that's a fuck you. If you love it, thank you.
I would like to thank everyone who joined us today. Stevie D from the Comic Book Queers,
yes.
Dave Wachter of Scar Tissue,
yes.
And the Guns of Shadow Valley, Tom Caters of an accounting firm coming to
something.
A town near you.
Yes. I was in the red eye. My name.
Jeffrey Brown, who was able to sit in with us. Simon
yes.
Oliver, who joined us on the phone.
Yes.
Chris Burnham. And Mike Norton,
yes,
who
yes.
curled up for a
hung
nice little nap.
Mike Norton lied on the ground and read Buffy for a while and then left without saying anything.
I almost
it
thought
was
he was
amazing.
Doing crunches for a minute, and I was like, no.
No, he's reading Buffy. No.
He left after I made the joke about hanging upside down in his snow cave.
Trying to reach your life,
my life.
You just dribbled.
I did a little
mouth
bit.
While laughing
I did
at
a
your
bit.
Own joke.
Ted Apoc from the forum has been sitting in with us, yes. And Mr. Mark Beatty, always thank him for hosting us here.
No.
Remember our book of the month, Black Hole by Charles Burns. You can check that out at InStockTrades.com.
The reason why you should be scared of it, Stevie, is because it has a lot of vagina imagery.
It does.
That does nothing for me.
Scary vagina. Scary. I mean, like,
tentacles.
Do they have teeth?
Teeth, yeah, spikes.
Oh, okay, that's funny. That's funny.
Because that's comedy.
Actually, there's a movie coming out or on DVD called Teeth.
Yeah.
And it's about a woman who has teeth in her vagina.
Yeah. Hey, nobody who wrote that had issues. No, not at all.
No. All right, everyone, we will be back next week.
That's why I always put it in the ass.
Talking.
I can't segue out of that.
What's your next line? If you want to put it in the ass, listen to Around Comics. Who cares?
He just put me in a podcast cul-de-sac. I can't get out of that.
That's a thank you, buddy.
It's a big thank you.
Next week we'll have...
Next week we'll be putting it in the ass.
With Don Glut.
Don't put this on the CD that you're giving him.
I will not. Oh, God.
Yes.
This is the type of show we do, though.
Oh, gosh. So we'll be back next Monday.
Don't edit a line out of this.
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere
and around.
Comics.
Standard missionary badge.
Expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, retransmission, or rebroadcast without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited.